This message was recorded at Fillmore Baptist Church in Princeton, Louisiana. Our goal is to faithfully preach the Word of God for the salvation of sinners, the strengthening of believers, and the glory of God. Please visit our website at www.fillmorebaptist.org and listen for more information at the conclusion of this message.
1 John chapter 2. We're going to really focus in on verses 7 and 8 for the most part, but let me back up as we always do here. And in fact, I'll start reading in verse 3. Now, by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, "I know Him," and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause of stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Okay. I think I said 7 and 8. Really, verses 6 through 8 is really what I kind of want to focus in on. But just as kind of a recap, we're looking at objective evidence here of salvation. John's giving us something that is more than a feeling. He's talking about something that can be observed in our lives by others as well as by ourselves. He's writing to a group of people who have been confronted by some false teaching. And we've talked quite a bit about that. There are statements made, obviously, by these others, who statements made claiming to not sin, claiming to have fellowship with God while they walk in darkness. That is, their lifestyle is ungodly while they claim to walk with God. And so John is telling the true believers here, his readers, how they can know that they are truly in fellowship with God. By this, verse 3, we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Talking about living a life of obedience. And this is what he's saying the others were not doing. They claimed to be in fellowship while they walked in darkness. God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. And yet, they claim to walk in the light, walk in fellowship with God while they were living an ungodly lifestyle. So John says, we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments, if we walk according to His word. He who says, verse 4, he who says, "I know Him," and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So it's not just the profession, it's not just saying, "I know Him." There has to be life signs, has to be vital signs, evidence of a true knowledge of Him. And John is saying it is obedience. It is living consistently with the Word of God. Verse 5, but whoever keeps His Word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. Now he's tying a couple of things together here. Whoever keeps His Word, truly the love of God is complete or matured, perfected in Him, in the one that keeps God's Word. So he says, if you walk consistently with God's Word, if you walk in obedience to the Lord, then His His love is made complete in you. In other words, that's what completes it. That's the completion of it, the finishing of it. So he's tying obedience together with love. They're interwoven. They go together. You can't have obedience without love. Nation of Israel tried that over and over and over throughout the Old Testament. They went through the motions, but they had no heart for God. So it voided everything they were doing outwardly. And you can't have love without obedience, which is what John is saying here. You can profess it, you can say that you walk with God, but your life must bear that out. So whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is made complete in him, or is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He's giving this to his readers as a proof, as a vital sign, as an assurance. It's just like I mentioned last time. Right now you can feel the pulse in your wrist. That's a vital sign. That's proof that you're alive. You don't have to go dig up your birth certificate to prove that you were born at some point. There are evidences that you can look at now to know. I actually don't recall when I was born, but vital signs prove that I'm alive. And it's the same way spiritually. John's saying these are vital signs. This is something you can look at. Love, obedience, which is really, again, kind of one and the same. I mean, they go together. Obedience to the Word means that you are operating in God's love, and His love is in you. Verse 6, he who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. And he's using, as is so often done in the Scripture, using walk or walking as a metaphor for life, conduct. It's how you conduct yourself. If you abide in Him, or you say you abide in Him, like he mentioned earlier on, they say they have fellowship. Chapter 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. There he's showing the contradiction. We say we have fellowship with Him who is light, and yet we walk in darkness, then we lie. We're liars. We're not practicing the truth. But over here, just another way of saying the same thing, chapter 2, verse 6, he who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. In other words, if you say you're in the light, you should be walking in the light, which is walking in the footsteps of Jesus, walking like He walks, mimicking Him, doing what He does. Well, what did He do? What do we mean by walking like Jesus? Well, He walked in a manner consistent with God's will, constantly. Somebody asked me today what I was going to be speaking on tonight, and I shared a little bit of this, and I told him, that's a pretty high standard. Walk as He walked. And they said, too high for us, which is true, of course. I mean, too high for us to keep. We're not going to achieve it. We're not going to perfectly do it. But it is the standard that's given to us, so we can't just throw it off and say, well, you know, that's too much for us. We can't do that. No, this is what he's saying. We must. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. Will you do it perfectly? Not by a long shot. But we ought to be moving in that direction. We ought to be desiring to be like Jesus. We ought to be going hard after Him, copying Him. Everybody knows how kids like to copy their parents, at least when they're small they do, and they're coming up. They want to be like their dad, or they want to be like their mom, and they mimic them. Well, we're to be imitators of God, imitators of Jesus Christ. Walk like He walked. So he who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. There ought to be a connection. Again, it's not enough just to make a profession. I have fellowship with Him. I know Him. That's what the false professors were saying. We have fellowship with Him, but their life didn't bear that out. They were saying, we know Him, but their life didn't bear that out. There was a disconnect there between the nature of God and the will of God and the conduct of these people. John says, if we really know Him, we'll act like Him. Verse 7, he gets a little more detail here. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. It's interesting, isn't it? Old commandment, new commandment. I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment. And yet, again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true. Well, what commandment is he referring to? He doesn't here, just right here, he doesn't just spell it out. He doesn't say, here, I'm talking about a commandment, and here it is. He does say, but not in so many words. In fact, let me give you one passage. Flip over a few pages here to 2 John, verse 4. Verses 4 through 6. I rejoiced greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, as we receive commandment from the Father. And by the way, again, I was talking about how he's tying together obedience and love. Well, truth is another way of saying that. Walking in truth, walking in obedience, or keeping His word, is to walk in truth. And it's, again, it's evidence that the love of God is in us and made complete in us. Verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, as we receive commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. So, walking in truth is walking in love. Walking in love is keeping the commandments. Keeping the commandments is walking in love. Keeping the commandments is walking in truth. Walking in love is walking in truth and keeping the commandments, and on and on and on. John says, this is what I mean by walking as He walked. Notice the similarity in the language there. And go back to 1 John 2 and verse 7. I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. That's what we just read in 2 John. Not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. So, how did Jesus walk? We ought to walk as He walked. He walked in love. In love. All the time. He walked in obedience to the Father's will. He walked in truth. Walked in the light. He is the light. He is the truth. And this is what John is saying that we should mimic. Walk consistently with the Word of God. Walk in love. So he says, again, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which is that we should love one another, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the Word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you. This is where it gets a little tricky. I don't write a new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you've heard from the beginning. Then he says, again, a new commandment I write to you. And you might think he's moving on to something different here, because he's saying, I'm giving you an old commandment, which we've interpreted as loving one another. And now he says, and now I'm going to give you a new commandment. So what is that going to be? Well, I really think it's just another way of saying the same thing here. It's an old commandment that was given from the beginning, that is, when Christ was on the earth, when the apostles were first beginning, and then in the beginning of what we call the church age after the Lord was crucified and ascended. The commandment was to love one another. It's the word, John says, that you have heard from the beginning, that we're to love one another. And then here he says, again, a new commandment I write to you. And I think the idea here is that he's just simply saying, yes, it's old, but it's also new in that it's always fresh. In other words, there's no greater level to attain to. There's no new mystery out there that needs to be discovered. Jesus' command was that we love one another. That's John saying, that's where we started. That's the word that you heard from the beginning. And guess what? It is fresh today. It's also the new commandment that you love one another. Kind of the nature of our warped minds, I guess, corrupt minds, sinful minds, is that we want something new, in the sense that, you know, something really is new, nobody's ever heard before. Something that, you know, maybe we can discover first. And you see that a lot, especially when it comes to religion. We saw that the other night when we were reading in Acts 17. And Paul was confronted by the Athenian philosophers, and they loved to sit around talking about new things. It hasn't changed. People are still like that. John's saying, here's the new thing. Here's the thing that's fresh for today. It's the old commandment. Love one another. There's an old story, just according to tradition. It's not in the scripture, but we know from tradition that John lived to an old age and lived out the end of his life in Ephesus. And there's an old story that some of the younger folks would come to him. I mean, this was the Apostle John. This was John who wrote the gospel and wrote the letters that we're now reading and wrote the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And they would come around him, flock around him, and they would say, you know, tell us something. They wanted him to lay it on them, you know, some great mysterious revelation that the Lord had imparted to him. And they would gather around him, and this old man would say, little children, love one another. Love one another. The man who had seen, you know, the revelation, seen in a vision or however it came to be, into the throne room of God and seen all those things, he was basically saying, this is still what you need to focus on. This is still the sum of it all. Love one another. It's an old commandment. It's the word that you had from the beginning. And it's the new commandment. Turn with me over to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Chapter 13. Yeah, let's see. Go down to verse 34. This is Jesus speaking to the disciples just prior to his crucifixion. Verse 34, a new commandment I give to you. Sound familiar where John gets this language? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Those are some incredible statements. First of all, verse 34, talk about a high standard. That's a high standard. He doesn't just say, love one another. And the thing that has always, or at least for a long time, has amazed me about this verse is that he also doesn't stop at the Old Testament command, love your neighbor as yourself. The golden rule, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's pretty strong, isn't it? To love your neighbor, to put the same value, the same level of importance on their welfare, their happiness, their well-being, to put the same level of importance on that as you do on self, that's an incredibly high standard. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that's why, you know, they look for loopholes, and that's why they ask Jesus, well, you know, who's my neighbor? You know, hoping that it would be somebody very lovable to kind of make it easy. That's a high standard. This is even higher. Because verse 34 doesn't stop at that. It doesn't say just love your neighbor as you love yourself. No, he says, you're to love one another as I have loved you. So he's raised the bar. You don't just love others as much as or more than self. Now we've got to love like Jesus loves. And that's what John is saying in the epistle. If we say that we know Him, then we ought to walk as He walked. Love one another as I have loved you. And Jesus goes on to say here, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Jesus is saying this is going to be an evidence. This is going to be evidence that you are truly the church, that you're truly the body of Christ, that you're my disciples. It's going to be evidenced by your obedience, by your walking in the light, by your walking in love, by your love for one another. And notice too, by the way, it's love for one another. I don't want to take anything at all away from loving the world. We're commanded to do that. Matter of fact, we're commanded to love our enemies. And Christians ought to be, you know, the most compassionate people on earth. But specifically here, he's talking about love among the Christians. In other words, the world is going to know we're his disciples, not because we love them, the world, although we should. We are commanded to do that. I'm just saying here, he's saying it's not that. They're going to know that we're his disciples because we love one another. The covenant community of the church is going to be an evidence to the world of the reality of the gospel message. People ought to be able to look at the church and say, yeah, there must be something to that because those people love each other so much. Jesus says, this is how they'll know. This is how they'll know you're my disciple. Still in John, look at, let's see, chapter 15. This is the same discourse. He's still talking here. Chapter 15, verse 12. Now, let me back up further than that. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Notice there he's talking about obedience and walking in the truth. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. You live like that, he's saying, you're going to bear fruit and God's going to be glorified, which ought to be our goal. Verse 9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Notice verse 7, he says, abide in me and abide in my words. And in verse 9, he says, abide in my love. It's all different ways of saying the same thing. It's all synonymous. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments. Now see, he brings in obedience, just like John does. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Abide in love, you keep his commandments, you keep his commandments, you abide in his love. It's one and the same. And by the way, it's not a cause of salvation or fellowship with God. It's not a condition, it's the result, okay? It's an evidence. The result, not a cause, it's an evidence, not a condition. But they go together. You abide in Him, you walk in obedience. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. There it is again. And just in case somebody there in his audience is asking the question, well, what exactly does that mean? Love as you loved us. Well, he says in verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends, which he goes on to do. And he says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Back in 1 John 2, the commandment is this, that we love one another as Christ loved us. Verse 8, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. This thing, this commandment, this word is true in Him, it's true in you. John uses a different adjective there. I take it for true, the word true. I take it to mean a reality. In other words, John's saying it's genuine. It's real in Him, it's real in you, this love. This is what His opponents were denying. They were saying, you know, we know God. We have fellowship with God, but they were denying any kind of loving, obedient lifestyle. But John says, no, it's a reality in Him. It's true in Him. It's true in you. Because the darkness is passing away, the true light, Jesus, is already shining. He who says, now, we took all of those other texts to show that John here is talking about love. Second John, he explicitly says, this is the commandment that you love one another. And then we saw where Jesus said that in John 13 and John 15. And now John here comes around to it in his explanation in the next few verses. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light. and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. You see, this kind of lifestyle, walking consistent with the Word and obedience to the Word, John calls walking as he walked, as Jesus walked. It's walking in the light. It's walking in love. It's walking in truth. It's, as Jesus said, abiding in his words. And the opposite of that, the other side of that is darkness. Darkness. And the one he describes as loving the brethren. He who loves his brother abides in the light. So it's not a, again, like his opposition was saying, it's not a self-centered lifestyle. There's a covenant community here of people looking out for one another, loving one another, living a life for the benefit of those around them, concern for one another. Jesus is our example. He says, love as he loved. This John describes as walking in the light, loving your brother. And he again emphatically says, if you don't do that, he who hates his brother, regardless of what he says, is the implication here, he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. So to walk in the light means walking in the love of God. Not just saying it, but doing it. And doing it is the evidence that it's real, that it's genuine. Walk in love. One more time as we close here. Verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. That's strong. That's the highest standard there is. And it's necessary. It's a necessary part of the Christian life. Mimicking Jesus. Loving like he loved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your love. Greater love has no man than this, but that he lay down his life for his friend. Lord, you laid your life down for us. No greater love. And now you've instructed us to lay our lives down for one another, to love as you've loved us. We know that we can't do it in and of ourselves, Lord. It's not in us. But we're not by ourselves. We have the empowerment of your Spirit. But we just look to you, Lord, and ask that you empower us to walk in obedience, to walk in love, to walk in the light, trusting that you're doing it in us. And that you're being glorified through it all. Again, we thank you and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
This sermon is made available through the ministry of Fillmore Baptist Church in Princeton, Louisiana. Our desire is to faithfully proclaim the message of salvation which God has provided in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. For more resources and information, please visit our website at www.fillmorebaptist.org. You may use the links there to contact us or write us at Fillmore Baptist Church, 6304 Highway 80, Princeton, Louisiana, 71067.